now the Lord, he's riding me, he's guiding me, he's leading me to the place I need to be. I was set apart, waiting on him. I was held up. Come on and say it. Stop looking at the fact that you've been held up. I've been held back. Well, maybe God let him have you tied up a minute until he can get to you. Don't worry about how long you've been held up, how long you've been held back. It was for a reason. Now God is saying, loose him and bring him to me. I came to get you. I came to bring you out of the village so you can go in to the city. Do I have a witness? Say it. Tell your neighbor, don't be dismayed because you've been bound up. I come to get you. Now grab them by the hand and pull on them a little. I came to loose you. I came to let you go. I came to bring you to the place you need to be. I came to introduce you to the Messiah. Say it. Come on, grab them again. Shake their hand. Gotta help me preach it, cause somebody ain't getting it. Say, I don't care how long you've been in restraint. I came to redeem you. I came to buy you back. Here's the blood. The blood to prove it. You've been bought by the precious blood of the Lamb. I came to pull you out of this. They gotta let you go. Come on, tell them I came as a disciple to let you know the Master has need of you. Come on, smile at them and say, the Master has need of you. Now shout with them and say, Lord, Lord, use me. Lord, use me. I'm here, Lord. Have your way. I'm here, Lord. Do what you want to do. I'm here, Lord. I come out with my hands up. Use me, Lord, in thy service. Draw me nearer each and every day. Come on, use me, Lord. Won't he use you? Won't he bless you? Won't he do it?
We know your hearts have burned within by the message of Living Word Ministries. Living Word Ministries of Natchitoches, Louisiana. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. Our church is located 1401 Welch Street, Natchitoches, Louisiana. Our mailing address is Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Again, Post Office Box 968, Campy, Louisiana, 71411. Our service times are 9:45 a.m. Sunday morning worship and Bible study on Thursday nights at 7:30 p.m. We would love to see you and hear from you. Our doors are open. Living Word Ministries radio broadcast can be heard every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 11:30 a.m. until 12 noon. Continuous blessings. Pastor Altoria Holden Sr. and Living Word Ministries, thank you for your support.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria, 88.1. The gospel is on your radio. Call a friend. Tell somebody, 88.1.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blunt Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I
Lord. heads are bowed, eyes are closed in reverence to God. Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, we thank you afresh for this opportunity to hear your word. Meet us in the text. Tailor the truth that you're teaching us so that every hearer's heart might not only hear the word, but heed the word, obey the word. And gracious God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I want to call your attention to the book of Isaiah, chapter 64. Isaiah 64. And I want to lift out verse 6. And Isaiah says, but we are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousness are as filthy rags, and we all do fade as a leaf, and our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. For just a little while, I want to talk about a dark diagnosis. A dark diagnosis. Isaiah talks about how, in essence, the nations trembled in the presence of God, and yet in that same trembling, they are filled with unrighteousness, with self-indulgence, without the true knowledge of who God is or what God can do. And so, as there is a need in Isaiah's day, so is there a need in our day to see us for who we really are. We might have ideas about what we think we are, what we hope we are, but God knows what we are. And the word says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. But it also says there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. And so sometimes it just depends on the enlightenment of man as it relates to the word of God, the knowledge that God gives him to see himself the way God sees him, and not simply to see himself the way he thinks he is. It's been said that man has 66 and a half pounds, the average man, of muscles, 40 pounds of bone, and 3.5 pounds of brain. That does seem to make sense about a lot of things. It's also been suggested that the average woman needs more beauty than she does brain, because the average man sees better than he thinks. Y'all catch that on your way home. But Isaiah wanted to wake man up to his own issues, wake him up to how God views him, God sees him. Isaiah, by inspiration, makes clear that they understand they are not mankind, all that they think they are. How many times have you, in your honest evaluation of yourself, thought that you were on a certain level, thought you had done something so wonderfully well, only to find out under scrutiny, under evaluation by others, discovered that it wasn't all that you thought it was? I think all of us at some point in our time have experienced that. But what I think is important for us is to understand that you don't need to think how God sees you. God wants you to know how he sees you. And so when we look at this word, we are all as an unclean thing. And first of all, I want us to look at unclean thing. In the word, this word comes under a legal term in Leviticus, and it literally ties in with the law of forbidden, which is tied in with leprosy. And so when you begin to understand this legal word, this is illustrated by the laws of leprosy, because if a leper was pronounced unclean, listen, he was shut off from and shut out of society, and he was forbidden from many places because of his unclean state. And so as a result of that, his leprosy that was capable of contaminating someone else and defiling someone else forbade him to go into public arenas. And so it is with the sinful man, he's forbidden entrance into heaven because of his sin. And so as we recognize this, that he is unclean, God does not deal or dwell with unclean things. So forbidden says he was legally and ceremonially unclean. And when we look at this word, because Isaiah is making clear that we get a glimpse of how the spiritual man is, you might say, well, I'm not unclean, I'm dressed, I'm properly bathed, I'm all of this. Yeah, he's talking about the real you. Somebody say the real you. I mean, I don't care how fine you dress, what kind of clothes you put on, what kind of perfume or cologne you top on top of that with, and how well you may look in the natural. God is not talking about your natural status. He's talking about your spiritual status. He's talking about the real you, because all that stuff won't matter to God, especially when it comes to that time of you being tried in the fire. All that stuff will be burned away. All of that doesn't move God. It may move man. It may cause man to think well of you in the natural realm, but God judges the heart. And so he wants to make sure that the heart is clean, that the heart is right, that the heart is righteous, that the heart is holy. So forbidden, unclean is what he brings out first. And then notice what he goes on to say. And all our righteousness are as filthy rags. So filthy rags, filthy. Filthy is the next word I want you to focus on. Because filthy, these two words, filthy rags, describe what is extremely and unmentionably dirty. Filthy rag. Get this picture in your head. Filthy rags. It's important to see it the way Isaiah brings it and presents it. Because what person in his or her right mind would ever do cleaning with filthy rags? Here's one of the problems with using filthy rags to clean with. When you put the filthy rags on whatever is dirty, whatever is dirty becomes more dirty when you add filthy rags. In other words, if you were mopping the floor and you use dirty mop water with a dirty mop, no matter what the floor looked like before you put the mop on it, it would become worse because of the dirt in the water and on the mop mixing with what is already there. Get the picture in your mind, because what you're trying to see is what Isaiah was saying to you. How can you fix up something that's dirty and messed up with something else that's dirtier and messed up? Are y'all hearing me today? You can't fix up you, because all that is about you is as filthy. Listen, all our righteousness. Not some of it, but all. That means excluding God and simply reserved for us and us alone. All our righteousness is as filthy rag. Just imagine washing your or wiping your counter down with dirty, filthy rags, and you're going to eat off that. Just imagine washing your dishes with cold, dirty water. And you take an old rag and you wash the plate and you wash the glass with a dirty rag and dirty water, and then you set it to the side to be rinsed and think that that's going to be clean. You see, where you would think it would be clean in washing with the dirty towel in the dirty water and then rinsing it, that's your righteousness, that you're making it better. But I got news for you, that can't take away the germs and all of the contamination and all of the things that could be there, the E. coli and other things that will stick to. You got to understand, you can't use dirty stuff to make stuff clean. So Isaiah is saying, listen, at your best, you are still your worst. At your best, God is not impressed or pleased with anything you present to him outside of him. So that means without God, there is nothing that God would desire of us. Without God, there's nothing we can tell God. Without God, there's nothing we can demonstrate or show to God as it relates to righteousness and holiness. That's why God didn't depend on us to get it together. He had to use one who was holy, one who was righteous, one who was willing, and his name is Jesus. Listen, when Adam fell, he passed on death-carrying, polluted blood to all mankind. He was known as the first Adam, the old Adam. But God said, listen, I'm going to use man, but he's going to be a new Adam. He's going to be a new man. Look, if the old Adam passed on death-carrying, polluted blood to all mankind, it stands to reason then why God couldn't use any of Adam's blood. So that's the reason why Joseph couldn't participate in the conception of Jesus Christ. Because though he was a good man, though he was a holy man, he had some unrighteous blood running through his veins. And so what you understand is that God had to overshadow Mary. He had to put in her a holy thing with righteous blood, holy and pure blood, to start this new line, new generation of pure blood that could only come through Jesus Christ, uncontaminated by the blood of man. And so Joseph never knew Mary till Jesus was born. That's why Joseph, other children wouldn't like Jesus. Y'all catch that one on you. Because Joseph had Adam's blood in him, and what's in the blood comes out in the child. That's why now when they want to find out if the baby belongs to you, they don't take the mother's blood, they take the father and the child's blood. And so if the DNA comes up to that point near perfection, 99.99%, they say, that's your baby. And that DNA is not wrong. And that's why Jesus' blood has God's DNA and not Joseph. Lord, I wish I had a helper in the house. And so therefore, all of man's good deeds, all of the things he tries to do to please God, that's why we could not be saved through our works and through our own righteousness, because they fall too short of God's high standards. We're saved through faith in Jesus Christ, not of works, lest any man should boast. And so when we look at this filthy rags, can you see yourself? I mean, you know, no wonder the Jews and the Israelites and all of them got mad when messages like that, sitting in church on Sunday morning, and the preacher said, all of us are like filthy rags, like the devil is alive. You get to thinking you all of that and look at you and all the rest of that kind of stuff. But it's talking about looking on the inside of you. You might look holier than thou, but God knows whether the heart is sincere or not, whether it's real or not, whether it's true or not. And God sees what you can't even see about yourself. Jeremiah 17 chapter makes clear that the heart is desperately wicked. So much so that it even fools you when you think you're all of that. And so he moves on and he says, we all do fade as a leaf. Talking about fading now. He's moved from forbidden to filthy to fading. Now look at this, because it starts off unclean, forbidden. When you're forbidden, it is because you are filthy. And when you're filthy, the next level to what Isaiah presents here is you start fading. You lose your glory. You lose your joy. You lose your shine. You lose your smile. You lose the very essence and effervescence of the Lord God Himself living on the inside of you when you start fading. Listen to this. You start fading because of sin. Unrepented sin. John, in the first chapter of 1 John, has made clear all of us sin, but some of us don't repent. I said all of us sin. None of us can say we don't sin, because we sin unknowingly as well as knowingly. We sin by our own volition, our own will, and we sin by not doing what God has ordered and ordained for us to do. So we all sin. All of our sins may not be moral sins, but all of us sin. But all of us don't say, God, forgive me. God, straighten me up. God, pick me up. God, clean me up. God, make me what I ought to be. All of us don't say that. And so when we don't say that, we begin to fade. Listen, we all do fade as a leaf. And this talks about the work of sin. The work of sin. Man, how many saints and believers you know who used to praise the Lord and lift up holy hands, and now they just sit there like lump on logs, looking around with their nose twisted up at anybody who rejoices and praises the Lord. Looking at them like, what's her problem? What's his problem? Yeah, I know God is good, but it don't take all that. No more joy in their hearts. No more smiles on their face. You scared to sit by them. You don't know if they got a piece or they got a possession. Listen to this. Fading, fading, fading. Why is this so important? Because when sin comes in, it can quickly fade the life of an unrepentant sinner. And so when sin enters in, listen, and it, repentance is not done, the devil takes them downward, on a downward spiral. Seeing a person in their youth and in the time when they knew the Lord, but got sidetracked, got off the right road and started going down the wrong road. Sin entered in, perpetuated a downward spiral, and you hardly recognize them because they faded from their former glory. I mean, drugs and alcoholism, wild living, perversion, and all of these things have caused them to fade. They don't even look like they used to look. Don't have any more joy on the inside of them. Because with unrepented sin, it pulls all of the glory that once was, that belonged to God residing in you, away from you. And people get to see the real you. They get to see what's going on with you. And I can tell you, my brothers and sisters, when folk are fading, sometime they're the last to really know about it. Because inwardly they may think they look like they used to look and still look good, but many of them avoid mirrors. They don't want to really look too close because they don't want to see the signs of fading. I'm not talking about growing old. I'm talking about the signs of sin. Where you don't want to look in your own eyes because it's the window to your soul, and you don't want to see what you already know. That you're not where you ought to be. You're not in the place God wants you to be. You've allowed sin to cause you to lose your glory. And Isaiah says we all have had that experience, but some of us have been wise enough to ask God for forgiveness and come back into the right place with God. Listen, my brothers and sisters, when we like a flower begin to fade, when we see ourselves at that point, we all do fade as a leaf. Listen to this. When a leaf reaches its last state of fading, it then falls from the branch. There is nothing once that leaf has disconnected from the branch that could ever bring life to it again. And then once it falls from that branch, because here's what people miss, and even in the leaf, that it may appear to have some color left while it's hanging on the branch. But anybody who knows anything about how that process works knows that the sap or the life-giving substance in the branch, when it sees that the leaf no longer serves its purpose, will not give life-giving substance to something that's not worth its place. And so God has designed the tree to know when it's time for these leaves to get off, because they're not doing what they're supposed to do and protecting the tree and so forth. The substance starts drawing up, and the leaf can't get no more life-giving substance, and it starts dying on the branch. And then when it has finished its last stage of fading, a wind blows and it just snaps off it. I wish I had somebody to hear me here. And that's what happened to many believers in the church. They don't always just drop straight out. It always just falls straight off. Sometimes it's a process. God keeps giving them a time and a chance to get it together, to come to themselves, to work back with God, to reason with God, to see if they can turn their lives and their situations around. And when there is no more hope, God removes himself. And then the process of total destruction continues. And then lastly, listen to what the word says. Our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. After the fading comes the frailty, which means there's nothing left in you to hold on. You no longer can stay in that place. And then a wind blows. And because you can't hold on no more, there you go, tumbling. But listen at this. It's the winds of adversity. It's the winds of destruction. So they take you, listen, away from the tree. Away from the source. And so when you begin to see that and understand that, our iniquities, like the wind, have taken us away. Sin makes us frail in that we have no strength against sin. We become so frail that we can't fight it no more. We've given in to it so much so that it has become our master. And it masters us. And when sin reigns in you that strong, it's usually called an addiction. It's usually called a perversion. It's usually called other names that many times camouflages the reality of what it really is. But at the core of its existence, it's really just sin.